time now, honey. Come on. You're killing us.
Log Talk Radio.
The longest 8 seconds of our lives.
It really is. Yeah. Like, it's really just like,
just hanging on it. Well, this is the Geekcast, obviously, and there's a bit of bad news, but there's good news that comes with it. The bad news is that there's a horrible Fantastic Four movie out there that's getting released tomorrow at midnight. But the good news is we're going to fix it all here tonight. So tonight is our rebooking. Well, our let's just call it the initial booking of a great Fantastic Four trilogy. So we'll both give you our versions and what we think should happen. And, hey, you can just play those through your mind. And you don't have to go watch this horribly segmented movie that they try to butcher together.
And even if you want to see it out of like some curiosity, don't see it this weekend. Don't give them that opening box office that they want. Let it flop today. And go see it Tuesday or Wednesday after work when you're just like, ugh, I need something. And that can be it. But before we begin, we have a couple questions based off last week. Greg wanted to know if we think a hero will be killed like Goliath was, spoiler alert, in Civil War. I won't say how he dies, so, you know, that's not totally a spoiler. And where would we put Deathlok if Netflix was included in the Civil War draft? Do I think a hero dies in Civil War? Yes. I think a hero will die. Yeah. I won't say who. Well, it doesn't matter because I think it's going to be Cap. I think Cap will die at the end. And when the Infinity Stone War, the Infinity War comes, that's how they'll bring him back. That's kind of my take on it. And Deathlok, I would put him on Team Iron Man.
Yeah, that was my thought there. He's part of S.H.I.E.L.D., so he'd be part of the government. Which I guess in the MCU right now, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not completely a government agency. But I assume that will change with the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though.
Yeah. I think that's the case.
Yeah, I think a death in Civil War is definitely a possibility. And I think the Infinity Wars will pretty much take care of whatever happens there. So, for me personally, it won't have that much of an impact unless we get through phase three and that person is still gone, you know?
Yeah.
Fox did put out something that was pretty good. We're gonna kind of trash the Fantastic Four as we have, but the Deadpool trailer came out, two versions, the green band and the red band version. I watched the red band version. I don't know.
I watched them both and I loved them both. Like okay, some people were like, Deadpool doesn't cut that much or whatever. Like, okay, if the biggest gripe is that Deadpool drops the F-bomb, which is fucked, shut the fuck up. Look at the Fantastic Four movie we're getting. Be quiet. Like, I'm sorry that he drops a couple of vulgarities while he's blowing holes through people's heads. Like, that is literally one of the things. Like, oh no, Deadpool said fuck, or he's going to go jerk off because he killed some guy. Tough titties? Like, man, if that's your biggest complaint about Deadpool, I don't know what to tell you, but, like, Deadpool has my full support. More aptly, Ryan Reynolds has my full support, who, man, that poor guy just wants to be a part of a fucking successful comic book franchise. Like, he just wants it so bad, and I want to give it to him because I love Ryan Reynolds. It's completely withstood. I love everything he's done. I will never say a bad word about a movie he's done, Green Lantern included.
Yeah, I think Green Lantern gets a little bit too much flack. It was not the best possible Green Lantern movie, obviously, since it's being rebooted, but I didn't think it was the worst thing that they could have put out, you know?
No.
Especially
no.
seeing as what's coming out in theaters tomorrow. But,
yeah. So here's a quick spoiler that I read, a little bit of fun stuff. You know the thing, lovable catchphrase, it's clobbering time?
Oh, God, yeah. I saw this.
I can't say for 100% it's true, but if it is, fuck you, Trask. The phrase, it's clobbering time, is now used by the thing's brother, by Ben Grimm's brother, before he physically abuses him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let that just sink into your fucking head.
Yeah.
Big Brother comes bowling through the room. It's clobbering time, pulls off his belt, and beats the shit out of old Ben Grimm. I don't actually know if that's exactly how it happens, but, you know, how should I know any way?
That's depressing. That is just depressing.
Also, fun trivia facts, spoiler alert again, Sue Storm doesn't go on the mission. She does
not
go on the mission. She is a she stays at home, and she somehow gets residual radiation from either when the guys get back or from them. I wasn't 100% clear on that. Yep, she doesn't go.
Yeah. There was one scene in the trailer that almost had me hooked to, like, sneak out and watch this. The like, dropping thing into the battle zone, which is actually kind of like a Hulk-type deal, but whatever, kind of had me, okay, that might be cool. They might be onto something here. But, yeah, those reviews came out, and I was scared right back away.
Spoiler number three, fun fact. That scene doesn't make it into the movie. They cut a lot of the action scenes. There's apparently only two action scenes.
I've also heard, I think I sent you the video of this, that from scene to scene, Sue Storm's hair changes.
Yep.
So so that's exciting.
She goes from bald blonde to big roots.
Before we start this, can I talk about Spider-Man for a little bit? Because this thought came to my mind, and I've really fallen in love with it.
We have to follow a strict fucking guideline.
Well, we know how the Geekcast rolls, so.
Yeah.
I know you're not a big fan of the Big Bang Theory, right?
Correct. Here's how I look at it. You're not laughing with the nerd. You're laughing at the nerds. Like, you don't see it from, like, I see it from their point of view, but the audience isn't supposed to. They're supposed to see it from Penny's point of view or the normal people. Like, the joke isn't whatever World of Warcraft joke they're making. It's the eye roll at the World of Warcraft joke they're making. That's the joke, and that's what I want to appreciate.
So, one thing that they have done that I think is kind of cool is some of the cameos they have are pretty cool. Like, they have Neil deGrasse Tyson and I can't think of anyone else. That's the main one that sticks out to me. But what I think would be really cool is we're going to have high school age Peter Parker, right? And a big part of Peter Parker is working with Kirk Connors and, you know, Doc Ock, even in some stories, you know, when he's Dr. Octavius.
Yeah.
I think it would be really cool if, like, you know, Bill Nye the Science Guy is Peter Parker's seventh period science teacher, you know? Or
just like cameos?
Just little cameos like that I think would be really cool. And the other one that I would love to see, Ben Stein play one of Peter Parker's teachers, since it's supposed to be like a Marvel version of a John Hughes film. Just to kind of get that like Parker scene in there, I think would be awesome. That's something that's been rolling around in my brain like the past week, and I had to share it with the geekers out there.
Yeah, that would be super fun.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, and those guys are always seem to be like up for that type of thing. And I think that would, you know, I mean, not like it's not that type of film already anyway, but I think that would be a nice little touch. So.
Yeah.
Probably wishful thinking on that one, but I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty kick-ass.
Cool. All right, so should we book these this Fantastic Four trilogy? Show them how it's done?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right,
cool. I think on Iron Fist, I think I made you go first. So you want me to go first on this one?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, cool. So for the most part, I'm a broad strokes guy, but there's certain details that I think are very important. Number one, first movie, we're not going to do an origin story. It's already been done twice. People pretty much have an idea of what happened there, and we can cover that kind of in flashbacks. So the first scene I want is I want Ben Grimm, the Thing, at the fucking breakfast table with the morning newspaper, all right? And the very first thing I want you to see in this movie is Ben Grimm, Johnny Storm, basically being a pain in the ass. From there, I want Sue Storm to basically walk in and tell him to knock it off, and then basically the entire thing to be like, well, where's Reed at? Well, Reed's in the lab, right? And we cut straight to the lab, Reed Richards. The only thing I need out of this is for Reed Richards to be working on a way to make the whole family normal again. Like, that first, those aspects covered, boom, right out of the gate. So we're going straight into the dynamic of these four people and how they interact. So Reed Richards working on returning the Fantastic Four to normal human beings, and boom, all of a sudden, seismic activity goes off. What the hell is going on here, right? So called everyone in the lab. All of a sudden, fall into the ground, all right? So from the get-go, we go right into action, first part of the first movie. So the Fantastic Four group together. They're going to go explore this and see what's going on. Obviously, there's people in that bank, right? So they arrive on the scene. Who is it? It's Mole Man and the Mole People, all right? Right into it. We have an action scene with the Fantastic Four, Mole People and Mole Man. They overcome them fairly easy because this is their first act of the movie. And they finally get the Mole Man. I'm going to go with Danny DeVito here as Mole Man. And go ahead.
I said that's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. So they get a hold of Mole Man. They overcome him fairly easily. And they're like, what's going on? Who put you up to this, basically? Some of the finer details on my stuff is obviously going to need ironed out. But we're going broad strokes here, right? And he mentions the one word that we all want to hear, and that's doom, right? Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back to the Baxter building. The entire top of the Baxter building severed off, right? What the hell is going on? So Doom has attacked the Baxter building with Mole Man as the distraction. We get a different villain from what we've seen to start things off. We've changed it up a little bit. But let's face it, it's Fantastic Four. It's got to be Doom. It's got to be Doom basically from the start, right?
Right.
So we from there, we're tracking down. Doom has basically Reed Richards' lab, right? So the first part of this is he's got it loaded on a train. He's got his Doom bots with him. They locate the lab. They engage him. Doom overpowers him, you know? During this time, we'll splice in flashbacks to before the events that give them their powers happen to kind of explore. The main thing I want out of these is to really drive home the relationship between the characters and spend a lot of this first movie really driving that home. So the first battle on the train, mainly because as a nod to Under Siege, but, you know, whatever. Doom comes out victorious. They have to regroup. and we get Doom on a ship taking the lab and the equipment back to back home, you know, basically. We have a big battle on the ship. That's where the Fantastic Four finally overcome. Doom is captured, right? They get back to the Baxter Building. They go to remove the mask. It was a Doombot all along, right? So Doom is safe. All right, help me pronounce the name of the country.
Liberia?
There we go, Liberia. All right, back home. So Doom's still in play. Mole Man is still technically in play, even though he's been apprehended. There's our first movie, right? Based on the interactions. All right, so we come to the second movie. And once again, we're on the ocean, right? And we'll kind of like Captain America, we'll throw another kind of lesser villain out there. We'll go, I think, Captain Barracuda, the pirate. And he's got this oil tanker that he's stolen. Big battle there. The oil tanker goes down. Fantastic Four get all the people off the ship. Save the day, right? They come back to New York. Here's Namor. He's pissed because we've got this oil tanker right in his backyard, right? Namor basically is like, any human being on the ocean, we're going to take down. We're going to destroy. So we go into a negotiation with Reed Richards and Namor. While this is happening, hold on, I got notes.
It's all right.
Atuma's clan attacks, right? Because, you know, he's part of the ocean too. We have this big battle, Namor's forces, Atuma's forces, all in Manhattan, Fantastic Four trying to keep the peace. At this point, at some point, Johnny Storm saves Namor, and that's how we get a cease between Namor and the Fantastic Four and Earth and Sea. All right? So there's my second movie. So I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. Post-credit scenes of the first movie, right? First movie, post-credit scenes, Silver Surfer sitting on his surfboard. We come to it. Scene shows up, he jumps on the surfboard and takes off, right? We do something else like that in the second movie. So we finally come to the third movie, and we have Silver Surfer show up on Earth, right? Heralding Galactus. Okay. Kind of a callback to the second movie, but we're going to do it right this time. So we have Silver Surfer. This pretty much tips off that Galactus is coming. Reed Richards is able to look into space and see, holy shit, there's this huge force coming. So we have to gather up whatever we can. Reed Richards goes to negotiate with Namor, no dice. That's where Johnny Storm can come in and kind of recoup saving Namor. Now have Namor on the team. This shows up. Who joins the fight side by side with them? Doom and the Doombots, right? Doom was on Earth too. It's a way to kind of explore Doom's character. And by then, Doom is probably going to be a villain that people kind of want to cheer for. So we have Doom and the Fantastic Four valiantly fighting against Galactus. Not quite enough. The valiant fight from the Fantastic Four and the people of Earth is enough to sway Silver Surfer to rebel against Galactus. They fight off Galactus, and that's where we end on movie 3. So hopefully that's not too rushed together, but there is my trilogy, very broad strokes.
Fair enough. No, it only is too rushed together. Okay. All right. We kind of didn't really include the Marvel Cinematic Universe because we didn't know anything about it. So here's where I start. It's actually similar to yours, except, you know, I just want to take this just quick moment to say, like, while the the most current iterations of Fantastic Four 1 and 2 with Jessica Alba weren't great, but I really think they got, like, the family dynamic of Ben and Johnny down, and that even Jessica Alba, as not great as she was, really played, like, the mom Sue Storm when she needed to. Like, while they weren't good movies, I think they at least had kind of a feel for the characters.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my movie starts... it immediately starts with the classic scene of the giant creature coming out from the earth and fighting. So we, just like you, but we immediately go into Mole Men. And what, like, there's voiceovers as Reed and Sue and Thing are fighting this. And what happens is, like, after a minute, it pans to Johnny Storm giving an interview to an attractive reporter and not really paying attention to the fight. And he's kind of, like, he kind of rushes the Fantastic Four's backstory, and that like, and he just rushes it in just a jerk way, where he basically makes himself the hero of the story. And while he's, like, telling the story, like, you're seeing snippets of what actually happened. So he's saying, like, you know, he took the plane up to space when it's clearly Ben, all of that. Fantastic Four win when they finally get Johnny to stop being such a, you know, an egotistical prick. And they all four defeat him, and you don't really, like, there's a huge crater left, and now they kind of take the alien, and they don't know, or they think it's an alien, or they don't know what to do with the creature. So, immediately cut to the labs, where Reed's figuring it out. Johnny and Ben are like, let's just go down the hole. Let's just follow the hole and see what happens. And Sue kind of has to mediate between them. From there, they agree that they're going to go down the hole, and they kind of go down. It's a long kind of adventure down where they run into different things. They fight a couple of big, more monstery guys until they eventually get to the lair of the Mole King. Mole Master is the villain. He's the one sending them up there, and you don't really know why, except. He needed something. I can't remember what it is right now. Sorry. He needed something that one of the creatures had to get. And what it was, as you find out, was something that was sending, like, waves down to his world and kind of creasing. Almost causing, like, small seismic earthquakes. But you don't really know what it is. And eventually the Fantastic Four agree to help the Mole Man and figure out what the problem is. The Mole Man is uneasy with it at first, but he eventually relents. From there, a couple of mole kids go up with them, the Mole Man, and eventually who you find is the Wizard. The Wizard who considers himself the intellectual of Reed Richards, obviously. You eventually fight a... Hold on, let me think for a second. Is it... No, the Mad Thinker. Sorry, Wizard is the Frightful Four. The Mad Thinker.
Yeah.
And they have a big fight with the awesome android and other robots. And the movie ends with them, you know, defeating the Mad Thinker and the awesome androids and kind of, you know, agreeing that the Mole Man will leave it alone. At the end, though, the Mad Thinker just, like, looks at him as, like, you know, how did you know I was planning all this? You know, what gave me away? I didn't do anything. And they're like, what are you talking about? The sonic waves you've been sending down to the underground to disrupt him. He's like, I didn't do any of that. I've been busy building an army to defeat you. And everybody's just kind of confused. And eventually, the post-credit scenes is you don't see who it is, but it's someone watching from a monitor and, like, talking off-screen for just a brief second. It's obviously Doom, but, like, he's not the one that'll talk. It's the other one, like, kind of almost kind of set up the way Thanos was, where he's got, like, a couple of the henchmen talking to him. And it's that, but you won't see anybody. You'll just hear the voices off screen like, ah, interesting, you know, whatever. Movie two happens, and Mole Man's kind of on his own, and problems start arising, like the seas start clashing and coming up, and it seems like there's global catastrophes happening, and there's no real explanation for it, except for sightings of a silver light flashing around. And what happens is eventually this is where Namor comes to the surface, you know, super mad about, you know, what are they doing? How could they be doing this to him? You know, he had this secret treaty with the government, and this is where he meets Sue Storm, the love triangle, because, you know, we got to have it. It's sexy-ass Namor. He's got to get his own. And from there, the war kind of comes to the surface where Namor is blaming the surface dwellers for the small quakes and everything that are happening in Atlantis. And if you'll notice, both of them have kind of a quake theme to it, which comes in handy. From there, Reed convinces them not to go to war, as just in time they figure out what it was that caused both the quakes in Atlantis and at the Mole Man's. It's the same sonic technology. It's not the Mad Thinker, though. They can't figure it out. So from there, a lot of the water starts to calm down, but like strange things are still happening. You know, the silver streak is still kind of flying through the sky, and Reed finally gets like a half photo of it. And what you can see is it's like half the Silver Surfer board, but they don't know what it is, obviously. It just looks like something. They can't really make it out, even with as good a camera as that they have. And shit, as this is all going on, like, while they're doing Namor, they kind of start infighting amongst themselves, and you find out that there's someone who's the cause of that. Eventually, he reveals himself, for what the fuck ever reason, because he's a villain, as Psycho Man. Psycho Man's a dude who has the ability to control emotions and stuff on his little iPad that he's got. It's literally the best way I can describe that guy's powers. So the first movie kind of sets up, like you did, the family interaction, and this one kind of stretches it with Psycho Man playing, you know, Big Bad with the help of the Wizard. Now is when the Wizard comes in, because we're going to build to the Frightful Four Phase 2. At the end of it, figure out that the chips, or the technology, came not from anywhere that they know, and it looks like, you know, it's all from, and they sources back to Latveria. And that's when Reed's like, Victor? And that's when the movie ends. And the small cutscene at the teaser at the end is Silver Surfer flying back to Galactus. Big, giant, purple hat and all, saying, yeah, this planet will do. Movie three, Doom. Like, at this point, they realize Doom's been kind of, like, playing them, like, making us think that it was the Mad Thinker, or that, you know, taking advantage of the Silver Streak, as we'll call them, and making people think these issues are, you know, caused by something else, but it's all him. It's all been him to test the Fantastic Four, and more importantly, to test Reed Richards. So Doombot's like, this is the fight to end fights. Namor kind of gets involved only because his Sue gets captured and he blames Reed, and, you know, Namor likes Sue. And I'm getting tongue-tied, sorry. I do not make those, so I'm trying to remember this best I can. And I think we're getting into overtime.
Yeah, we got about 10 seconds. So if you're listening live, so, come back on the archive and listen to the rest.
And finish it out. I promise it won't take that much longer. Then I'll wrap it up. So the Doom fight happens, and right as it looks like the Fantastic Four is about to win and beat Doom, that's when the clouds part, the heavens open, and a hand reaches down, and that's where we end. There's no teaser, spoiler, or anything else. That's the end of phase one, the Hand of Galactus, with Doom almost kind of beaten, and the Fantastic Four looking like, you know, the big heroes.
Awesome. I like how you tied in the Namor Sue Storm dynamic.
I
think that's important too, because it also kind of solidifies Reed's dynamic, you know. I think that's like the dynamic between Reed and Sue is kind of the hardest of all of them, you know.
Oh yeah.
Because it's obviously like there's a love interest there, but it's different than any other love interest in comic books, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was there any villains that you kind of you wanted to use but kind of didn't quite work out for a three-movie set?
MODOK, which is weird, I know. He's not really – Fox doesn't own him. Kang was another one, but I want to build to him in phase two. And the Red Ghost. You know, the old guy who has the who can control. I just wanted him as just like a fun guy that they could just kind of beat up. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Just like, I don't even understand this. Like, what's going on? As they like the monkeys try and just destroy the thing, and he's like, "Are they tickling me? I don't understand." So I had a couple more villains. I kind of rushed because I should have made notes, but I didn't. And yeah, that was it. Like, I put the purposeful. Misdirect that you thought you were going to get Dr. Doom in the first movie with the Mad Thinker and the android bots. And so, yeah, I think we had some pretty good stuff.
Yeah. If we took all of our ideas and made it one movie, we could write for Fox, I think. So,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. All, like, yeah. Both our trilogies somehow combined into one movie. One.
So, next week we'll be back and we'll do our actual street level villains that we want to see. I've got like different categories. I went pretty deep into that, so I have like henchman level street villains. I've got a ton of stuff for that, so I'm pretty pumped for that. So we'll hit that next week. Any other ideas you got for stuff we can do? The Civil War draft was a huge hit. It was probably our most viewed show. It was our most viewed show or listened to show. So that was pretty exciting.
Hey, we're gonna get there slowly but surely. I don't care if we got to get into the triple digits. We're gonna get it.
Yeah. So we will we'll be back with street level villains and cool shit that they can do with that. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.